He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Dr. Brown, so glad to have you back. How are you?
Oh, no. Where is he?
Do you have me on mute?
I don't have you. Oh, do I have you on mute?
I can hear you now. Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. Oh boy.
You got me nervous.
I'm well.
Okay, well, thank God one of us is. Holy moly. Yep. I got nervous there. I thought, no, where'd he go? This has never happened. How are you?
Good.
I'm glad. We have a lot to talk about today. It's interesting because I opened up May yesterday with our tick expert who came back on the show, and she comes on pretty frequently to just talk about ticks and really sound the alarm about how we don't really have tick seasons anymore. They're here all the time. But it was interesting because I had a listener who was chiming in on the conversation through email, and she said, you know, certainly Lyme disease is very important. Tick bite's important. She said, but I'd really love if we could talk about other parasites that are impacting people simply from one bite. And I'm trying to pull up her email right now, of course, that I am blanking on. But I want to say she brought up something that starts with a B. Mm-hmm. Bartonella. Am I saying that correctly?
Bartonella babesiosis.
There's a whole bunch of fun stuff. It created, she said, blindness actually in one eye. This is a Connecticut resident who said this was something that she got a bite outside. It doesn't sound like it was a tick. And she wanted to also kind of, you know, sound the alarm about that. And I thought, yeah, I don't know an awful lot about it, so I'd love to talk about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of infectious diseases that are potentially out there. You know, Bartonella is sort of a, you know, Bartonella is more known for cat scratch disease. So
what?
It's sort of interesting. So there's one tick bite things that we could talk about, but then there's, you know, if we're going to talk about Bartonella, the most common infection from Bartonella is actually from cat scratch disease. So cat scratch disease is caused by this bacteria. It's actually typically seen in young kittens, sometimes in feral cats, and it has to do with getting multiple scratches or bites from a cat. It actually has to do with it's spread by fleas, so fleas can actually spread it, and then sometimes it can even be spread by even easier than that. So yeah, one bite of a kitten could surprisingly give you an infection. The infection is what we call self-limiting. So a lot of times it'll actually stay within the lymph nodes, you know, usually is around the hands or the legs, goes into the lymph nodes, and most of the time it goes away, but sometimes it can lead to other issues and can be disseminated, especially in people who are immunocompromised. So yeah, there's a lot of one bite sort of aspects. From ticks, there's multiple organisms that you can get from ticks. There's organisms that you can get from fleas. There's organisms that you can get from lice. The good thing is that very rarely do we get lice.
Dr. Brown. I hate to be vulnerable like this, but I got head lice all the time as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Because I never followed the rules. I would share headbands with girls in my classroom. I'd share hat. Oh, yeah. I mean, elementary school. So this is no joke. This is why I can't eat mayonnaise, though, because my mom, who was a registered nurse, this is back in the 90s, and she said that mayonnaise is an ultimate killer for head lice. And so So you can imagine where this is going. And so I literally can't be around it. It physically makes me sick. It brings me back to being 6-7 years old and having it in my hair. It was awful. It's horrible. So,
that lice is not as bad as bowdy louse per se.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's the one that we've seen. And that's also interesting enough, a Bartonella infection. So in bowdy louse, if you have bowdy louse infection, that's the cause of trench fever in World War I.
Oh my gosh.
So there's a lot of organisms. So the biggest ones that we're always concerned about is ticks and mosquitoes, because they're very common and they carry pretty common diseases that you wouldn't get anywhere else. So obviously Lyme disease, as you mentioned, is seen in ticks. And it also carries babesiosis and anaplasmosis in our area, and ehrlichiosis in usually areas south to us, which can cause a pretty bad illness, can make you very sick, can actually even cause some abnormal liver enzymes, and can actually leave you vulnerable. So those are the big ones that we're there. And then we always hear about sort of the you and I usually talk about the rare and unusuals. Flebovirus is one that we see, eastern equine, western equine, mosquitoes. So those are the ones that we're looking for. So here comes the summer.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, okay, so this is a little depressing, but it's, you know, you're doing your job. We can't shoot the messenger, right? This is what we do. We inform the public. But, you know, I will say, Dr. Brown, when people get made fun of for being, you know, nervous about going outdoors or they're like germaphobes. So, for example, my brother, he and his wife, they are germaphobes. They... like beyond. And it's sort of like a standing joke. They don't feel like we're making fun of them or not, but it's a standing joke in our house that it's like, whoa, if you're going to walk in the house, you better make sure that you've like totally disinfected, you know, you took a shower at the front door before you walk in kind of thing.
Right.
But you can understand why people get to that point when you hear about everything you just mentioned. It's like every OSIS is out there and you just got to be careful. I don't know. You know, and all you hear is just be careful. Make sure you wear those long sleeves.
It is be careful. It is making sure. You know, listen, I think the things that we've learned over the past years with the pandemic, you know, washing your hands, if you're sick, wear a mask. If you're concerned that you're going to get sick, put a mask on. You know, those are still very valid things to do. I mean, even not wearing a mask, but keeping a little bit of distance is a way. These are disease of sort of socialization. So these.
I agree. I mean, you and I have talked about this. I actually just had this conversation. I was visiting one of the municipalities. I visited the town hall, and I was talking to one of the girls there, and she and I were talking about how, you know, nobody says that we have to go back to where we were in the depths of 2020, but things like disinfecting your desks. I don't get it. I don't understand why nobody will do. I don't get that. I don't understand why people wouldn't keep disinfecting. If you have public spaces, especially you share with other people, why wouldn't you disinfect it? Same thing with the masks. I'm not somebody who wears a mask really anywhere, but I can tell you right now, you'll never catch me on a plane without wearing a mask. I won't do it. And funny enough, when we came back from our vacation in April, I was the only one in my family who wore a mask to and from our family vacation. Every single person from our family got sick except me.
Yeah.
Every single one. And I said to them, it's because you sat in an infected tube, essentially. I mean, we all sat in a plane, close quarters. They don't clean the planes. Like, we learned this. They showed us this. They told us this during the pandemic.
Right.
And I don't get it. I'm not saying you got to go backwards, but man, did we learn a couple of things? I think we did. I hope
so. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the risk. I mean, if you're going to take the risk, then you're going to get the infection.
So, there you go.
I mean, the good news is that a lot of things are treatable or are self-limiting. So again,
exactly.
I'm not trying to make agoraphobics. You know, please go out. You know, agoraphobia, favor of everything. You know, please go out. It's okay.
It's almost better, right? Doesn't the sun kill stuff?
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. See?
Exactly. See UV light.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? There is something that we can take a little bit more control over. So obviously we all want to be able to go outdoors, and maybe that scares you a little bit, but it really shouldn't. Just, you know, again, taking those precautions are really important. Let's talk about vaping. We've got Dr. Brown here, and a new study this week found that vaping is tied to an increased risk of lead and uranium exposure in teens ages 13 to 17 who use e-cigarettes over a 20-day period. Holy cow, Dr. Brown. First of all, for people who may not realize it, give us the simple, I guess, impact statement, if you will. Having your body exposed to lead and uranium, what does that do?
Yeah, so it, obviously it's a major issue. And if you look in history where lead was used as a tool, and, you know, it has demolished empires because of it. One of the biggest things is it actually leads to mental instability. It can actually make you go crazy. It's lead poisoning can lead to heart disease, lung disease, liver disease. It's a metal that kind of gets into your body, and then it sinks in. And this is the problem about heavy metals. It goes in, and then it incorporates with your cells. And instead of taking sort of normal function, it replaces the essential metals that we have with these metals, and then it just causes havoc.
I mean, isn't that so? When we talk about being exposed to lead, like, that's why we got rid of lead-based paint and right?
Because
lead exposure, you can't get rid of
gasoline.
That, right?
Yeah, that's exactly the problem. Once you have it, I mean, you could if you have an overexposure to lead. I want to clarify a little bit. Mm-hmm. If you do have an acute exposure to lead, you can. There are ways that we can neutralize acute poisoning. But longer term, yeah, once it causes damages, the damage is done.
Yeah. So there you go. So how do we make that into a soundbite, Dr. Brown, and put that every single place on the planet? Because vaping has been, I know we've been sounding the alarm about the dangers of it and all of that, and there have been attempts to try and get rid of it and ban it and so on and so forth. But when you're talking about an increased risk of your teenager getting lead poisoning, uranium in their blood, I mean, that's serious stuff. That's a lot of times that's permanent. And you know, a lot of these kids, they might be trying it once or twice, but you know, a lot of these kids, especially college kids, they're doing it every day, multiple times a day.
Right?
I mean, this is serious stuff. I don't know.
It's particularly dangerous. And there's a couple aspects of it. And again, the longer term effects are not quite as known as they are with cigarette and that tobacco. But remember, when you talk about sort of what vaping is vaping is essentially superheating a fluid and then breathing it in. And that could, you know, and that's usually water and oil. So superheating water and oil is not great. We all know that, you know, water can actually have small contaminants in it, but usually if it's in your GI tract, that's not an issue. But if you get it into your lungs, it actually goes right in. More importantly than the water is the oil. And if you think of oil, right, oil just picks up everything. You know, think about it, Melissa. I mean, if you put it down on oil, it just kind of picks up everything, all the contaminants that are potentially there. So those small contaminants can get in there. Now you superheat that, and you're breathing it in, and that oil is sticking to your lungs. And then whatever is in it, that's why I'm not surprised to hear lead and uranium, tin, nickel. I mean, there's all these different components, and plus the, you know, strontium. There's all these things that are actually in there that are being picked up and then being put in the oil during the process, and almost impossible to filter out. And then when you do that, when you superheat it and you breathe it into your lungs, you're really essentially getting it into your lungs and right to your brain. So you're having a aspect where you have a bunch of these chemicals that you're breathing in, especially with the flavored ones, which have even more, you know, are demonstrating having it maybe in the, you know, urine of these kids are seeing more uranium when you have them flavored, which is even worse. But you're also, you know, the other problem is that has nicotine in it. And nicotine is one of the most addictive substances in the world. So it's not only are you getting the nicotine that makes you, you know, makes you addicted to it, then you want more and you continue to get it. So
exactly.
I would advise anyone to avoid tobacco, you know, avoid vaping.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And I think, Dr. Brown, a lot of times I don't know. I think in some regard, we always push for lawmakers to change the world, right? I mean, I think that's like naturally what people say is, you know, where is this person to do this? But then on the other side of the coin, this is why I think you can never get rid of, to me, news sources like what we're doing right now, having these conversations and getting the facts out there, because this is what's going to empower, I think, kids to make the right decision. If you're educating yourself at home, you've got kids, grandkids, you've got nieces, nephews, you're a teacher even, and you take it upon yourself to go, hey, I learned about this today. This is crazy. Make a memo. Give it to the kids. Talk to your kids about it. I mean, really let them know, like, hey, I just want to let you know this is what's happening. Because I think we could wait and wait and wait for things to get banned or regulated or better under control. But at the end of the day, if we know the facts in front of us, this is one of those things where, you know, earlier you and I were talking about going outside and getting a tick bite. Unfortunately, no matter how many tick checks you take, no matter how many precautions you take, sometimes you can't avoid that you got bit by a tick. But this is something you can avoid. This is something that you are voluntarily using, and it's not necessary. So I appreciate you getting that information out there, Dr. Brown. And for people who want to use this, we do podcast it individually. So you can share it with your kids, your college kids, if you have kids who are now young parents, share it with them. I think that's the most powerful thing we can do instead of waiting for more legislation or something to happen, because that's eye-opening. Everything you just shared is eye-opening. I don't know.
It's really scary. And listen, I think when vaping, I don't say first came out, but became popular, I mean, there was an entire disease associated with it that was leaving you know, people who vaped in the ICU because of contaminants. I mean, that was only you know, 5 years ago. So.
Oh my gosh, insane! Yeah, it's so true. That's such a great point. I tell you, I always learn something new, and I always feel A lot better. Pretty much every single time when I talk to you every week, Dr. Brown. I mean, I'm a little grossed out about the stuff going on outside, but that's okay. I'm still going to go outside. I promise.
That's okay.
But
that's
I appreciate okay. you.
There's a lot of treatment for it. Don't worry.
Okay, great. I'll just always call you.
A lot of it's self-limiting. The good news is if you get a lot of those things, then you don't get them again, right? Your immune system is able to fight it off the next time.
That's true. That's very true. This is why I have Dr. Brown on speed dial, because I would just go crazy otherwise. Dr. Brown, always appreciate you. Thank you so much. And we will talk again next week.
My pleasure, Melissa.
All right, Dr. Brown of Griffin Health here on WICC.